There is only one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence. It is God, it is divine, it is spirit. It is moving in, around, and through each one of us right here, right now. Each one of us is the essence expressing as this oneness. And we move, live, and have our being right here, right now in the one. And I know and accept right here for each and every one of us that we are loved, we are guided, we are directed, we are inspired by the words and music we hear today. We know that each one is touched by what is expressed here at Vision. We know it, we feel it, we acknowledge it. And we know that all of the volunteers that make this service possible are blessed and feel the love that is coming in, around, and through, and back and forth with each one, knowing it is felt at a heart level, for that is God being expressed fully and completely. And in this knowingness, I give great thanks for this oneness, for this beauty and love and joy and peace and wisdom that we all are, that we express, that we feel, that we know. I am grateful for this knowing, and as I release these words into law, knowing that they are made manifest, they never return void, they return pressed down and running over and filled to the brim with joy, with love, with laughter, with all the attributes of God that are ours to behold and express. And in this oneness, we can say together, and so it is.
Well, here we are. Last week, we talked about conditions, right? We talked about truth. We talked about facts. We talked about conditions. And the thing is, conditions change all the time. Conditions change all the time. In fact, that is a truth, isn't it? That is one truth that we can absolutely depend on, is that everything in the physical world changes. Everything in the physical world changes. Even if you get everything you want and you get it in place, and you get your life looking exactly the way you want it, then what? You can't ever sleep again. You just can't, because something's gonna change, right? Something's bound to change. You wake up, something's different. Oh, does your front lawn look perfect, right? Just perfect, it's cut, it's even, it's beautiful, it's wonderful. You go to sleep, you wake up, boink, weed. Right? It just happens, there you go, right? It changes, because everything changes. So what does not change, right? What is eternal? What is eternal? God, right, God. And this talk is called Eternally Yours, because God is eternally ours. Well, it is eternally us as well, right? Spirit is eternal, spirit is eternally ours, and eternally us. We are that in form. You heard Donna pray so beautifully about that, right? There is only one. There's only one energy in the entire universe, and that energy, and it keeps expanding, right? Doesn't the universe keep expanding? We keep looking at it, trying to find the edge of it. No, it's not there, because it keeps expanding. Spirit is all there is. Energy is all there is. It's one and the same, right? And all those qualities of God, there's 12 of them up there, the divine dozen, I love it. All of those qualities of God are eternal as well. They're eternal, they are eternally ours, they are eternally us. All of those things, everything that God is, has invested itself in and as us in the world. We are the outpicturing of the divine. So all of those qualities that God is flow through us, because we're made out of the same stuff, right? When a wave, when the ocean sees fit to rise up and be a wave, is the wave different from the ocean because it has a different name? No, it's part of the ocean. We are part of the energy of God, same thing. Everything that we are, God is, but we are not all there is to God. Does that make sense, right? God is so much greater. But all of those qualities then are already ours, just because we are in form. Right? Like everything, all the elements of the wave, the salinity and the sand and whatever is the content of the wave is the content of the ocean. No different. So the gift has already been given. The gift is already ours. All of the qualities of God are already ours, waiting to be recognized, to be developed, and to be used accordingly. Right? In the Bible, James 1:17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down through the Spirit of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So that means it doesn't stop and start. It doesn't judge you and give you gifts or not, or withhold gifts. It just is. It simply just is. These gifts from Spirit are the truth of us. It is the truth of our being. All gifts are already ours, surrounding us, pressing in on us, and waiting for our welcome. So that's something you need to think about, waiting for our welcome. Ernest Holmes in The Science of Mind said, we cannot doubt that the Spirit has already made the gift of life since we live. Ours is the privilege of acceptance. Thus, we are to assume the attitude of a grateful beneficiary of divine gifts. This should be done simply and directly. The Spirit is not something that was or is going to be or is becoming. The truth is that which it is. It exists at the very center of our being. To pray in spirit and in truth means to recognize this indwelling Spirit and declare the truth about its activity through us. So we're not making anything happen, we're making it welcome. Right? Like Ernest Holmes said, we don't make things happen, we make them welcome. Every good thing exists to support and supply every other good thing on earth. It's all good. It's always available, and we have the job of recognizing it. We have to recognize it. Animals, plants, minerals, everything has its good in this life. Emma Curtis Hopkins, right, in one of her lessons, I don't remember, but James, I know you know. One of her lessons said, everything turns toward its good. Everything moves. Everything on earth moves toward its good. Sunflowers, right? Sunflowers will turn their big faces toward the sun as the day goes on, right? They will turn toward their sun. Earthworms, Emma Curtis Hopkins said, earthworms will crawl toward their good, right? I think minerals sit in their good. That's just my thought. But minerals just sit there, right, in their good. And I'm reminded of that quote in Matthew, right? And why do we take thought for worry, right? Consider the lilies of the field. It's that quote, right? How they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. They simply accept their good all around them. The point is, don't fret, right? Don't fret. Don't fear. They don't fear. The sunflowers don't fear. Oh, God, you know, will I get enough sun today or whatever? No fretting. It's just taking in the supply that is all around them. But first, we have to believe. That's the first step. We have to believe that we are surrounded and supplied by good, right? Which does not mean we do nothing. We still have to do something. We still have to take those steps. But first, we must believe this is truth for our life. This is truth. And then we have to act on it, right? But we have to act in faith, not in fear. You know, that's right. They're two sides of the same coin, really. You know, fear is faith in believing nothing's going to go right. Faith is just believing everything's going to go right. You know, it's just, it really is, it's the same thing. So first we have to believe, then we have to act. But we have to act in faith, act as if it all goes right. The sunflowers do have to do the work. They do have to turn toward the sun. The antelope does not jump into the lion's mouth, right? It has to do something. It has to move toward its good, and we have to move toward our good as well. First and foremost, we have to believe. And this is why Jesus said, it is done unto us as we believe. Because as our belief changes, the conditions around us change, right? That's why we say prayer changes everything. As we believe, it outpictures. And Ernest Holmes explained it this way. He said, there is a side to everyone which is entirely open to the infinite. But when Spirit comes and brings its gifts through the divine law of love, which is ever pouring itself out upon humanity, blind though we may be and unseeing, it can only give to us what we are willing to take. The taking is mental because it is a thing of conscious concept. If I persist in saying life cannot give me that which is good, it cannot. For life must interpret itself through us. And that is consciousness as us. This is the important part, right here. This is it, key one. We have to believe. We have to believe that this is the way it works. We have to choose to believe that. That's faith. You know, we're used to saying, I'll believe it when I see it, right? I'll believe it when I see it. When the truth is, we will see it when we believe it. It will outpicture through our faith. Remember, everything begins in consciousness, right? We talk about thoughts are things. Everything begins in consciousness. So the last link in the chain of manifestation is in the physical world. The last place something shows up is in our surroundings. We must believe it first. Everything begins in consciousness. Thoughts become things. Persistent thoughts are the ones that are most likely to outpicture themselves as conditions in our lives. And Ernest Holmes said this, and it's in the textbook, I swear, on page 52. Thank you, Nan, for finding it for me. I knew it was there, but I couldn't find it. Hence, he said, it follows that if we believe it will not work, it really works by appearing to not work. When we believe that it cannot and it will not, then according to principle, it does not. But when it does not, it still does, according to our belief that it will not. Whew. You want me to say that again? No. Look it up. It's on page 52. It's working perfectly. The law works perfectly. And when we are convinced it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Which means it's working perfectly, right? We want to believe it works. We want to believe, we choose to believe through faith that we live in a reflective universe, that it responds to our most predominant thoughts and it outpictures accordingly. So we believe there is a power and presence in the world. We believe that that power and presence is all good. We believe it responds to our most predominant thoughts, and it outpictures as conditions in our lives. You got so far so good, right? Okay, so we choose to believe God is all there is. It fills all space, and it fills all time with its presence. Nothing exists except spirit, in form or out of form, right? The forms or the space between the forms. And we believe, number two, we believe it's all good. And we believe we're surrounded by that all good, and it presses itself up against us, making itself known to us by our recognition and acceptance of it. We have to say yes. Ernest Holmes said, we don't make things happen, we make them welcome, which means they already exist. We have to make them welcome. And that's right, that's another truth. Good already exists. Good is already around us in all forms and out of form, and we must make it welcome. And spirit waits on our welcome. Nothing happens until we recognize it, we welcome it, and then we demonstrate it. We must invite it in. New Horizons, Ernest Holmes said, when we are ready for the smallest iota of truth, there it will be, as though it had waited patiently at the door of our consciousness throughout eternity. It's just there. It's fully present, waiting for us to acknowledge it as truth, waiting for us to say yes. So there you go, there's another truth. It waits for our consciousness to grow big enough to accept the gifts. And I think that might be one of our biggest challenges. What about you? What do you think? You know, you would think it would be the easiest thing, right, to say yes. Yes, yes, more please, yes, more please. Say yes to all the gifts of life. But you know, I think we have constructed so many obstacles to our belief in our own good that we hold ourselves away from it. God doesn't. The gift has already been given. The gifts from Spirit flow endlessly, eternally. But we're the ones who have built obstacles to our demonstration of good. And Ernest Holmes said this, the very fountain of life flows open and free. That the gifts of heaven and earth are so bountifully bestowed upon all who receive them. But there's another thought to consider. If life or God has already made the gift, even God must wait for our acceptance of it. Perhaps we err in that we do not expect to share in the gifts of God. Perhaps we are bound by the thought that we're not yet good enough to accept the gifts, or we have not developed spiritually enough to appreciate them. Too often we feel these gifts are withheld, and we do not live in enthusiastic and confident expectation of sharing the infinite. Anybody? Anybody can like recognize yourself in that quote, right? Oh, I'm not good enough, you know. Or whatever. Whatever those old tapes that you were born and raised in, whatever culture you were born and raised in, whatever family, whatever your parents taught you, whatever your immediate family thought, you know, life is hard and then you die, or, you know, it's a dog-eat-dog world, guys, you know. Oh, what a horrible expression that is. Good grief. Right? But all of those things that we heard, we kind of took them in as children. A lot of times we just take them in and figure, well, the big people around me are saying them and they must be true. Right? So you gotta fight for what you want. You gotta, you know, all those kinds of things. So that's our challenge, right? We are bound up in our not good enoughness. We are bound in our, and you know you can find it. You can look in there, right? Every once in a while you have those little expressions that'll just come right out of your mouth and you're like, you go, where did that come from? Oh yeah, my grandfather, you know, or my parents or something, right? You know, you just, they're just in there floating around. False beliefs that somehow we have to earn it to gain favor from God, because God's busy punishing somebody else, right? And it's like, oh no, I don't want my turn. So I'll be good, I promise. Or, you know, we're being punished for something we've done maybe in the past, and so God is withholding good from us. None of that is true, right? None of that is true. It is some version of not good enough. It's some false belief that we have been raised with. You know, the fall from grace, right? The fall from grace in the Bible is the punishment for eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, blah, blah, blah. Okay? When really, in reality, the fall for us is the illusion of separation. When we have fallen into the physical realm to feel that we are separate from God. Right? I'm in this body, so God's like someplace else outside of this body. That's the real fall from grace. It is the illusion of separation when we enter the physical form. We feel like we are separate from God. We feel like we're separate from each other. And traditional religions will reinforce that for us. Oh, we're sinners. Particularly women, by the way. We got the bad role in that story. You know, it was all our fault. We lured him to the dark side with an apple. Really? Okay, whatever. But that's not the fall. The fall is the illusion of separation. Here I am in a physical body, and there you are over there in a physical body, and I think I'm somehow separate and apart from you. But what we know about energy is that it pervades everything, all things, everywhere, all the time, even the spaces in between. So we are one. There is no separation. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, if we are to demonstrate the divine givingness as a principle in the universe, we must set up a receiving center. For no matter how abundantly the horn of plenty may pour out its universal gifts, there must be a bowl of acceptance, a chalice of expectancy, or the gift cannot be complete. So, where is your chalice of expectancy, right? You holding out a 55-gallon drum or a thimble? what is your chalice of expectancy? What is the good that you can accept in your life? Ernest Holmes had an affirmation. He said this: I am one with infinite and perfect spirit. Let's say that. I am one with infinite and perfect spirit, giver of all good and perfect gifts. Giver of all good and perfect gifts. Let's say it again. We'll say it all together in one piece. I am one with infinite and perfect spirit, the giver of all good and perfect gifts. And he said, say that. Say that every day. Say that every morning. Have that fill your consciousness so that you are not of divided mind, good and evil, right? Positive and negative. All of the illusions of duality that we have in the physical world that we know are just our interpretation of something that exists on a continuum. Right? Something exists on a continuum. We say God is the power and presence to which there is no opposite. Then that means all of those qualities are qualities of God to which there is no opposite. And you say, aha, but there is, but there isn't. Everything exists on a continuum. We have infinite amount of joy to experience. But we're all the way over here on this end, and we're experiencing only just a teensy-weensy little amount of joy. What do we call it? We call it sadness. But we go over here, we go on the continuum, we continue to work with our own consciousness, and we continue to grow it and grow it and grow it, and our joy is over here. We're all the way over here in bliss. It's still the same thing. It's still joy. There is no opposite to the qualities of God. None of them. No opposite at all. They all exist on a continuum, and we have free will. So we are free to choose teensy, tiny little thing and call it something else. We are free to choose an extraordinary amount of these wonderful qualities, and it's all up to us. Here's another one Ernest Holmes said. He said, today I let nothing enter my thought that would contradict the allness and goodness of spirit. Okay? You ready for this one? Okay, let's say it together. Okay, today I let nothing enter my thought. Let nothing enter my thought that would contradict the allness and goodness of spirit. That would contradict the allness and goodness of spirit. Period. That's it. Nothing else enters our thought but the allness and goodness of spirit. I'm not entertaining any but. You hear? No but on that sentence. Let's talk about your big butt, Simone, right? Nothing. That was Pee Wee Herman, I'm sorry. I just always go there. But anyway, there is no but on the end of that sentence, right? Or except for me, or except for whatever, you know? The allness and goodness of spirit, except in my experience, because I am the one and only exception to God's rule. No, there is no exception. The goodness and allness of spirit is all there is. And so we have to make that a habit in our own mind. We have to make it a habit in the midst of plenty. You look out in the universe, and, you know, leaves and grains of sand and trees and plants, oh my gosh, and bugs. Think of all the bugs. There's trillions of different kinds of bugs in the world. Think of all the lavish abundance. And in the midst of plenty, we sit and beg and we plead for our good. Right, and we beg God, oh, please be gentle with me, you know, don't hurt me too bad. Can I have this? Can I have that? Not seeing the gifts that have already been given because we have not expanded our own consciousness. We have not believed that God is good all the time. We're used to believing in a reluctant God, right? We're trying to convince God to do something for us. We're trying to woo God, you know, over to do something for us, to make something happen for us. And then we have to think about, oh, God's going to choose to maybe agree with us, maybe not, maybe smite us, you know, whatever. We have to get over this idea that God is a big old guy with a white beard sitting on a cloud somewhere who needs to be praised and fawned over, right? And begged in order for God to do something for us. Because it is a principle, it's not a personality. Spirit is a principle. and it responds according to law. And this is what Ernest Holmes taught us. Something responds to us in the way that we believe. In The Law of Mind and Its Practical Application, Ernest Holmes said, we are the recipients of divine gifts. We should go about every day in the business of life with joyous spontaneity, because we have hold of the very wellspring of being itself, the mind of the eternal. Everyone is an inlet and may become an outlet to this divine nature when our consciousness is open to the infinite. Remain open. This is our job, to remain open, to believe everything is good, to choose to believe God is all there is and God is all good. Choose to believe everything good, everything beautiful, everything joyful, everything wonderful is already ours eternally. Thank you.